The Cinema Specialists are back, and we are into our final bracket, our final one for the month of March. Exciting, exciting times. March Movie Madness is coming to an end, just like my March Madness winning dreams of having a good bracket and doing anything meaningful with my life came to an end in round one when I picked Auburn to win it all. So that was fun. But hey, we brought in some childish joy for our 90s sports nostalgia bracket. If you haven't listened to our other brackets yet, go ahead and check those out. I know, obviously, we have the one over on, we did Adam Sandler, and then we did the most popular movies according to Letterboxd. We had surprising winners in all, so make sure you check that one out. Hope you all enjoy that, and hope you've enjoyed this series. Next week, we are jumping into our newest series, which is going to be, you haven't seen that, and we are going to be talking about two movies each week once again, and we are going to be talking about one that maybe a lot of people haven't seen and should see. And we're going to be talking about one that is very popular, where if you haven't seen it, how in the world have you not seen that? So that's going to be kind of what our method to the madness is. And so that you can all play along at home on that, I'm just going to announce off the top what our month of April is going to look like, because I know April is a long month. So I want to make sure that everybody has plenty of time to watch the movies before we get going, because I do feel like that will help. So without further ado, I want to make sure I have the dates on these, John, because I know that that's important. So April 1st, which is next Monday, we are going to be doing Godzilla 98 and Godzilla 1954. So we're going to be talking about both Godzillas. We got the new Godzilla Kong movie coming out. So that will be fun. Both Godzillas, April 1st. Go if you haven't. The popular one there is the 1998 one, unfortunately. The one that you use, the hidden gem, is 1954. And that's kind of going to be the way this goes, right? We're going to be doing the big one and then the little bit hidden one. April 8th, John Wick from 2014 and Hard Boiled from 1992. If you haven't seen Hard Boiled, do yourself a favor and check that one out. April 15th, we may have a guest for this one, and we'll announce that as that comes closer. It will be a movie-related guest from another YouTube channel. It won't be a Survivor thing for any of you Survivor people who are like, oh my God, you guys are going to get a movie fan Survivor person? That's not what's going to happen. So yeah, we're going to be doing that 28 days later and Sunshine. April 22nd, Jojo Rabbit and the Great Dictator. And then April 29th also may have a guest, Sicario and The Nice Guys. Try to line that up a little bit with stuff that is coming out so that we can just be like, you know, this is what's happening. This is why we're doing it this way. It won't always line up perfectly, but I think like the 1 week, you know, in May, we've already kind of talked a little bit about there's a music biopic coming out. Okay, let's look at some music biopics. So we tried to keep it as movies that are very popular and movies that, how, you know, you should go ahead and check this one out because it is worth your time. John, I know this is the 90s sports nostalgia movie podcast, but since we're giving the little preview of what's going on, what did you think? What are you thinking about this new series, this next one we have coming out? Are you excited that we're no longer just going to be doing Marvel movies?
I'm really excited for this next series because it gives us a lot of chance to visit a lot of movies some people want us to talk about, these popular movies that people keep mentioning, hey, guys, talk about these movies. And ones that we also really enjoy that people might not have heard of. I think it's going to be a fantastic series, and we are going to have a lot of fun discussing these two movies every week.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that one. And it's also going to be nice that we're not just going to be doing movie theater movies. That I think will help. So yeah, that's really it. That's what we got coming up. So Godzilla 98 and Godzilla 1954, that's the original one. That is going to be the first two movies we do. Like this video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done all that. Go follow us at The Cinema Specialist. Maybe I should just put that as my name. I can change my name. I'm going to change my name, John, real quick, to Cinema Specialist. Maybe that'll get more people to follow us on social media. I'm doing my best. I want you all to follow us because it's important to me. And hey, we're trying to put out some good stuff here. So coming over, hang on. It's going to change. John, 90s nostalgia movies. I'm going to list them off in a second. But what were you thinking as you were going through this? Fun
as in like what was I thinking while I was watching these movies?
Yeah, were you pleased that we decided to do this or no?
I was. You know what, I don't think I've seen any of these movies in like 2 decades, and it was fun. It even the wide array of quality of these films, they're fun, and they kind of remind you of a time where things were a little simpler in life.
Mm-hmm. You were saying in a text message that this might have been the last time people were happy.
Yeah, I think so. Explain. If we look at the decade of the 90s as a whole, we're coming off the Cold War, and a lot of people kind of refer to the 90s as a long decade, like from a historical standpoint, because we come off the Cold War, and there's a lot of optimism, everyone is enjoying themselves, but then 9/11 happens, and who knew I would be mentioning 9/11 in a 90s podcast, but here we are, and it drastically changed the tone of media.
Mm-hmm.
After 9/11, everything kind of got darker. We were more focused on realism. And because of that, there's this weird pocket in the 90s where we could have fun in ways we could never have fun again.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about these movies. There is a lightness to these movies that is seriously missing from films nowadays. And I'm not going to lie, I don't go out of my way to watch like kids' sports movies anymore. That's not something that I do. But I do still watch a lot of younger kid type movies. I do. Mm-hmm. Like I go out, like we see a lot of animated movies. It's something that we go out of our way to watch. I'll watch like new Disney movies and stuff that come out. I just feel like we don't really get them as often anymore as we used to. And a lot of them don't really live up to this classic, whatever you want to call it. Like these movies that we're talking about tonight, I would say all of them are considered classics, whether they're good or bad movies, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of people talk about these movies. Kids love these movies. Adults are now going to show their kids these movies. And I'm not saying that those movies don't exist nowadays. I just think it's a little bit easier to find from the 90s. And I feel like they were done, you know, in the lighthearted way that they were intended to be for this kind of genre. So anyway. All of that being said, let's talk about the movies. Number one seed. We did this based on popularity, as we've done throughout this entire series. So if you're wondering why does that get to be the number one seed, that is the reason why. And the number one seed is, of course, going to be Space Jam. No surprise there. That was the most popular one on Letterboxd. That was the least shocking thing I've ever clicked in my life when that came up. The number two seed. Sorry, I'm just trying to get to the video so I can actually get the... I don't want to put the bracket up until I announce them all, you know. Number two seed is The Sandlot. Number three, Cool Runnings. Number four, The Mighty Ducks. Number five, Air Bud. Number six, Angels in the Outfield. Number seven, Rookie of the Year. And the eight seed is Little Giants. Now I'll throw the bracket up. So that means your matchups are Space Jam versus Little Giants, Mighty Ducks versus Air Bud. And on the other side, The Sandlot versus Rookie of the Year, Cool Runnings versus Angels in the Outfield. I did open this up to a vote in our community over on the YouTube channel. So if you're not subscribed, that's the other fun stuff that'll come up every now and then. And they voted in Space Jam, Cool Runnings, Rookie of the Year, and I think the other one was Little Giants. Those were the ones that were voted in. John and I picked the other four. Other ones that were eligible that ultimately did not get voted in. Those included, and let me just pull it up here. Where is my community tab? The community tab is not as easy to get around in the back end. It's right there, smack in the middle on the front end, but on the back end, it's terrible. So the other ones that didn't make it were Johnny Tsunami and Brink and Ladybugs and the Big Green. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty pissed off Brink didn't make it. I really wanted Brink to be on here. That movie's amazing. It's about rollerblading. It's really cool. It's probably the coolest movie you'll ever see. If you haven't seen it, go check out Brink. So anyway, yeah, that's what I got. John, here's the matchups. What do you think? Anything stand out to you before we actually get into these? Shortest bracket. Somebody says, Mona Allen said that no one watched Jerry Maguire. No, no, no. These are 90s sports nostalgia. Like we're going... childlike wonder. Jerry Maguire is more of an adult movie. It's more of a rom-com. Jerry Maguire absolutely is a 90s movie. It definitely is a sports movie, but that is a movie that does not fit in the genre here that we were looking for. We're looking for movies that like children specifically watch and adults would watch with them. Jerry Maguire, I feel like, is definitely an adult movie that if a kid watches, they're going to remember You Had Me at Hello and the cool dance Cuba Gooding Jr. does, and that's about it. But Jerry Maguire is a good movie to probably do on our You Haven't Seen That podcast coming up, because I would bet you there's a lot of people who haven't seen Jerry Maguire, and that's pretty shocking this time. Yeah, John is pointing to himself. He has never seen Jerry Maguire. So That might be a podcast that's coming up on a sports movie, if a sports movie ever comes out. So thank you, Mona Allen, for putting that in here. Don't worry. You're on our radar. We know what's going on. We got this. We're here. All right. But John, anything standing out?
We have a variety of different sports in these, but baseball is the only one that will automatically get to the second round.
Yeah. It's funny. We got the Sandlot versus Rookie of the Year in the first round. I was not expecting that. That was funny. And the Mighty Ducks versus Air Bud. I feel like those were the two that in the video store back in the day, those were the ones sitting right next to each other. And you would always be like Air Bud, Mighty Ducks, Air Bud, Mighty Ducks. You know, it'd be kind of going back and forth between those. But yeah, Sandlot versus Rookie of the Year. And Rookie of the Year was the one I was most surprised won our vote. It got 31% of the vote. Cool Runnings was 47%. And then Johnny Tsunami was 14%. I mean, we only had 161 votes there. But still, I would have expected I didn't expect Rookie of the Year to be in there. So Ladybugs in the Big Green, I'm not surprised, didn't get in. But yeah, I didn't think Rookie of the Year. I had never seen Rookie of the Year until this week.
Oh, right. I hadn't either. I read like a brief synopsis of it when we were picking the movies for the bracket and which ones we should include in these votes. It was an interesting watch. Yeah, I will say that.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it more. We're getting there. For sure.
All right, let's start off with Space Jam versus Little Giants. So, John, you said you have criteria. What is your criteria?
I do have some criteria that I think we should really consider, because we didn't do it with the popularity bracket, but we did with the Adam Sandler bracket, where we kind of outlined our criteria for how we were judging these movies and things these seven movies need to include to really capture the essence of the 90s, I think. So, and I mean, of course, Phil, you can veto any of these if you think, okay, that's not a good one.
Them all. You got nothing. I only have one criteria.
So I actually have quite a few here. I think in order for this to really be a 90s movie, it has to have an overtly 90s moment.
Okay, what does that mean?
Either something that really focuses on the technology of the 90s, I think, or something that was so common in 90s movies with the way it's shot, or like certain uses, like slow motion was really prominent in the 90s.
I'm using the ticker, baby. We're back.
The ticker's back. Perfect. Or it's really kind of emphasizing kind of those like pop culture moments of the 90s. So either like a reference to a 90s musician or an event. I don't know, U.S. presidents come up a lot in 90s movies. Things like that. For my second criteria, I think we need a cartoonish villain.
Hang on. I got a comment on your first one.
Okay.
So I actually have a different theory here, because I know that you're going to go against the Sandlot and say it's not set in the 90s. But I, for what it's worth, took this more of, it was a movie made in the 90s about sports that is a nostalgia, that has a lot of nostalgia for it. So I get the overtly 90s moment, but I also feel like in a movie like The Sandlot, where it's set in the 60s, if the style of the movie feels like there's 90s moments in that, I'm going to take that.
I agree.
And so like, for instance, with The Sandlot, the whole thing of, what is it, Benny pointing up to the thing after he steals home? That is so 90s, it hurt my soul. It's like he's looking directly at the announcer to be like, yes, we did this for each other, as if, and like, who cares? So I just wanted to put that in here and make that known so that you could know. And Billy Zane said, how could you make a 90s sports movie bracket and not include Rudy? I don't think Rudy's a nostalgia movie.
Is that a fair statement?
I don't think it's a nostalgia movie.
I agree. And I think like the better way to frame it is, again, we were really going for these family-based movies. We're not going for these movies that were focused on more adult characters. If you look at this, only two of these movies really focus on adults participating in sports.
I guess, yeah, because if you were to say to me, so like for instance here, like Billy Zane, and I know I'm talking to the real Billy Zane, women and children, I have a child. So when I'm looking at this, if we were to do a sports bracket, like a flat out sports bracket, I would include Rudy in that bracket.
100%.
Rocky, Rudy, you know, I think Space Jam would probably still make the cut, although that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to win this. Slapshot would be a movie that would immediately come to mind. There's a lot of boxing movies, The Fighter, Cinderella Man, like these, you could do a whole region of football movies, basketball movies, boxing movies, baseball movies. We go sport by sport, you know, miscellaneous where you do throw in Brink, which would be a one seed, obviously. But I feel like 90s sports movie, Rudy's included. 90s sports nostalgia, I don't necessarily think it's in there. Because I don't know, and maybe I'm reading this wrong. Maybe this is just my life. But I don't know if Rudy is necessarily a nostalgic movie for a lot of people. I feel like it's a go-to sports movie for a lot of people. And yes, it did come out in the 90s. But I don't think it's a nostalgia movie in the way that, like, I'm talking with this. Space Jam has Michael Jordan, but it's the Looney Tunes and it's a children's movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch it as a 32-year-old. And be okay watching it. Mighty Ducks, the same thing. Like, when I'm looking at these nostalgia movies, it's movies that you kind of grew up watching as a child, and now you are still willing to watch them. You almost wish you had an excuse to watch them more, but it's a little weird when you're like, I'm just going to sit down and watch the Mighty Ducks tonight. Okay. You couldn't do something else with your time. Like, and if the Mighty Ducks is on TV, that's one thing, but I'm saying going out of your way to find the Mighty Ducks, put on the Mighty Ducks and just chill. That's kind of more of what I mean by 90s sports nostalgia movie. Whereas Rudy is a movie that if you sat down and watched Rudy on a Sunday, it's like a very normal thing for an adult to do, I feel like. So anyway, I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if it cleared it up. Billy Zane might've just said, screw it, I'm not listening to these guys anymore. But yeah, what do you got?
I also think that you actually hit a much more important thing. We're looking at this as people who grew up in the 90s.
That is true.
And people who were children in the 90s. And that's where this nostalgia is coming from. This is childhood nostalgia of the 90s. And the movies we remember watching growing up. Or that our peers talk about watching growing up. And while, yes, Rudy is definitely a sports movie in from the 90s, it's not the type that you're throwing on with your younger sibling and then acting out later.
Mm-hmm. You're not quoting it every single minute like a child. Yeah. And I think like Rudy's a very good movie. So this is nothing. Rudy and Jerry Maguire are both movies that are absolutely good. And Jerry Maguire would fall into the football bracket. I don't know how it would do in the football bracket, but it would absolutely fall into the football bracket. So yeah, I get where people are coming from with this. This was our most loosey-goosey, but if you look at these, we were trying to think of child. And that's my only criteria for this.
Yeah.
And actually going to hurt one of these movies quite a bit.
Mm.
Maybe even hurt two of these movies quite a bit. There need to be children.
Yes.
In these 90s sports nostalgia movies. And that's why John and I, when we were making this, Space Jam and Cool Runnings weren't automatically included in our list, and we threw that up to a vote from our subscribers, was because Space Jam and Cool Runnings definitely have that sports nostalgia thing, and Cool Runnings is so much goofier than Rudy, like so much goofier. So if you're trying to be like, well, that's kind of the same, it's like adults overcoming, Rudy is a legitimately good movie by TriStar Pictures. Cool Runnings is a very loose adaptation of what the Jamaican bobsled team did. And it is so overly corny and goofy, and we'll talk about it when we get there, that I think it fits into the nostalgia more than a Rudy. Rudy is like a movie that is you know, bigger than that. So that's just where I'm coming from with this. Mm-hmm. But I think they have to have children. And that might tell you right off the bat, well, can Space Jam and Cool Runnings win this? I don't know, maybe. But you need to have kids in your movie.
Yeah, I agree. Because that's the target audience of these movies. And that's what I think we're really focusing on is our children involved, because in fiction, it's better to have an audience analog for your intended audience. And if there's no kid, you can't really connect to the movie if you're a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Continue. What else you got?
Okay. We need a cartoonish villain, not a cartoon villain, not a like caricature, but they kind of has to be a bit goofy. And usually will represent either the fears of growing up or the fears of the main character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or just look exactly like Joe Paterno used to dress back in the 90s.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes. And we will get to that one for sure soon. I agree with you on that. I think a cartoonish villain is very important. I do. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important to the movie. And that was something as I was rewatching these, like I really did appreciate that in some of these where the villains were just so, I mean, the Air Bud scene of the coach throwing balls at the kid was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I know it's so messed up, like to be laughing so hard at that because you're sitting there and you're like, wow, like is this child abuse? But the movie's not taking it that way. Okay. That's not the way that this movie is being perceived. It's not like the coach. No, because the coach gets fired and it's not sitting there being like, you should be so sad and all of that. Like it does it with kid gloves on of look at how ridiculous this is. When they cut to that, I was like, what movie am I watching right now?
Yeah.
Like, this guy is just chucking basketballs at a child. Now, Greg, what was his name? What was the Rutgers basketball throwing incident? Rutgers coach got fired for this, actually, in 2013. Mike Rice, he was throwing basketballs at his players at practice. So I do remember this, but this was in 2013. So maybe he was inspired by Air Bud. Maybe the guy just loved Air Bud, and that's how he got into basketball coaching.
Or maybe he didn't watch Air Bud, and that's the problem, is he didn't maybe learn the lesson from it.
I don't know. What was the lesson? All right, we'll get to that. Anyway, what do you got?
I kind of talked – this one's a little loosey-goosey. I don't think, like, we really need to go on this, but it kind of has to embody that decade of optimism that was the 90s that I was talking about before. Like, it has to – I guess the easiest way to sum it up, it's got to be feel good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, feel good is 100% every one of these checks that box. So I mean, I feel like I'm wasting my time typing feel good, but I'm going to type it anyway because I'm a masochist and I like to do everything as appropriately as possible. So there you go. It says feel good. Okay. All right, John, what else?
We need a rival who becomes a friend by the end. Some of these like movies hit it, some of these movies don't hit it, but I think it's really important when I'm like looking back at that sports nostalgia, I want that like that frenemy type character.
Yeah. 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 I agree with that. All right, John, you so far, I like these. I mean, this is, and these are easier to remember than the Adam Sandler ones. I feel like we were like, was there a shit joke in that? Like what's going on? These so far, I can think of every single one of them in every movie.
Yeah. Because of the landscape of the 90s and just the way, again, like we're going to be looking at this kind of through like a North American perspective, simply because that's where all these movies were made. I think there has to be a struggling parent of some sort, either someone who is too over dedicated to their job and not paying attention to their kids, or is divorced or widowed. Because I think that was just like a staple of 90s everything.
Bro, I got to say this. I'm going to say this now, okay? Because I think this is actually a really important point and something I wanted to bring up now. And look, if you're listening to this, if you're, I don't know, do we get Gen Z listeners? Some, a few. I know that, I know for Survivor we do. I don't know if we do for our movie stuff. But like, if you're listening to this, let us know what movies in like the 2000s and 2010s you grew up watching the way we grew up watching these. I'd be very curious to know. And I'm talking like sports type movies, because the one thing I noticed while watching this is the nuclear family was unquestionably one of the most important thing of each of these movies, with the exception of, you know, Space Jam and Cool Runnings again are kind of outliers, but we're going to talk about those anyway. But the nuclear family was so important to these. And if there was some part of the nuclear family missing, that in turn meant that something was missing. So that gave the protagonist something that they needed to overcome, or a reason why they were the way that they were.
Yeah.
It's funny to me, and again, maybe I'm just not seeing as many of these movies, it's funny to me how far off that has fallen in a lot of these movies. Like in the 2020s, in the 2010s. Yeah. I understand that a lot of these movies are trying to include more representation, and I'm not going to sit here and knock that. But I do feel like there was something about these 90s movies where they just spent so little time really worrying about that. And they just said, the nuclear family is the issue. Boom, done, moving on. And it does create a little bit of just like, there's so many scenes that they didn't need to have in these movies that you might be having in a movie from 20-teens or 2020s where you want to include a different type of family than what we were seeing in this era.
Yeah, this is a big thing because divorce rates started skyrocketing in the 80s.
Yeah.
And media really adjusted for that in the 90s. That's why when you look at like 90s sitcoms and like the family 90s sitcoms, we had that the case of the missing mom in the 90s, where there's just no mom, no mention of mom. And it's just like the single dad raising kids, right?
Yeah.
It was so important to the 90s that I just think without that, you can't really be a 90s nostalgia film.
Yeah. What else you got? Anything else?
I have a couple more. Need a washed up athlete.
We do
like a washed up athlete mentor.
I'm just going to put washed up athlete. Sure. I don't necessarily think it needs to be a mentor, but I hear you. Okay. That's good. I like that. I appreciate that. No need to continue talking about that. What else you got?
Okay. I kind of lumped two together here. And we can take it as we want. Because I really wanted to lead to the underdog story, which a lot of these are, but some of them aren't really underdog stories. So I think the better way of phrasing it, it has to be a ragtag group of misfits.
Yes, 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 yes. That is, yes. I mean, that fits in all of these, every one of them. All right, continue.
Okay, so I have two more.
Jeez.
I know, that's a lot. But I think we need to have, because these are children's movies and like family oriented, there has to be some sort of lesson or moral to come out of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, that is a given. I'm not even going to type that one in. I feel like
I think there are some of these movies that don't have it. But
yes, but I feel like that's a given for what they, yes, I agree with you.
And then I think the last one, the movie has to have an athlete playing themselves.
Yes. Okay. Love that. Yes. Athlete playing themselves. Yes. Okay. Okay. Does it have to have John Candy?
No, it doesn't. But I mean, it can't hurt a movie to have John Candy.
It doesn't hurt, right? Okay. So there we go. We got it at the bottom here. We got an overtly 90s moment, must have children, cartoonish villain, feel good, rival becomes a friend, struggling parent, washed up athlete, ragtag group of misfits, athlete playing themselves. Brandon in the Now says Little Giants, Like Mike and Rookie of the Year are some of my faves. Perfect. Was Like Mike in the 90s?
No, it was 2002.
No, 2002. So that just missed. Mm-hmm. That just missed. So we couldn't get Like Mike. See, Like Mike would have fit better than Jerry Maguire or any of that. So, all right, let's start off with Space Jam versus Little Giants.
Okay.
Let's start off with it. So Space Jam is the iconic one here. There is no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Space Jam was remade with LeBron. It has Michael Jordan. It has the Looney Tunes. It has Wayne Knight. It has Bill Murray. It has Larry Bird is in this movie. It has a lot of basketball players playing themselves. Mm-hmm. It has all of those things. It does not have children.
I mean, it has children, but they are so far on the periphery that we can't really count them as having children.
Yeah, like the children are not the main characters of this movie. Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes are the main characters of this movie.
Mm-hmm. And actually, like speaking on the Looney Tunes, some people might not remember the hard push Warner Brothers made for the Looney Tunes in the 90s. And like the revitalization of them. We had every type of Looney Tunes stuff going on here. We had Looney Tunes paraphernalia out the wazoo. I still remember like the Looney Tunes mugs and everything. Mm-hmm. We had Tiny Tunes. We had the new Looney Tunes show. We had Darkwing Duck and all these like weird Looney Tunes like side adventure things. We eventually got like the Looney Tunes as superheroes and everything like that. The 90s was wild when it came to the Looney Tunes. Yeah. And this is the first of two live action movies with the Looney Tunes in it.
Yeah.
It feels weird though, doesn't it? It feels weird.
It does. It does. And so I think my biggest takeaway from Space Jam is this is a 90s nostalgia movie to me that doesn't actually fit into what most 90s nostalgia movies are.
I agree.
Like, when you look at the Little Giants, you have the overtly 90s moments like crazy. The car wash scene in that movie is so 90s. Yes. You have the children. They are a ragtag group of misfits. The villain is so cartoonish. The rival who becomes a friend, I don't know if he necessarily becomes a friend, but the Spike kid is more of a friend who he's just a rival.
Arguably, I would say the main antagonist,
his brother?
His brother becomes his friend at the end. Like, true. I would argue that that's there.
A washed-up athlete, that's, the brother. Athletes playing themselves, we get that with Tim Brown and Emmett Smith and John Madden's in this. Mm-hmm. So this hits everything.
Yeah.
But this movie is just not as popular as Space Jam. Space Jam, if you were to say to a 90s kid, have you seen Space Jam? The answer most of the time is almost undoubtedly yes. Mm-hmm. With Little Giants, that is not the same answer. Does that matter to you in this matchup?
It's tough because Space Jam kind of has an unfair advantage in that aspect where it had a sequel come out, 5 years ago?
It's not a sequel, I don't think. I think it's just a...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like a legacy sequel or anything.
Is it? I thought Space Jam was just a remake.
I was pretty sure it was called Space Jam Legacy.
A new legacy, but I think it's a remake.
Okay, sure. But point being is it has another movie in this franchise, which automatically made people go back and
revisit. It is a standalone sequel. You're right. You're right. Okay, cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never watched it because I heard it was really bad.
That's what I heard too. So I also have no idea. I mean, that is true. And so like when it comes to this movie, I sit there and it comes to this matchup. I'm like, which one do I actually feel like hits 90s sports nostalgia better? I think it's Little Giants. But which one actually carries more sports? Which one actually carries more nostalgia for people from the 90s or in the 90s? It's Space Jam. So how do you determine which one advances?
It's really tough because the fact that Space Jam focuses on a washed up professional athlete at this point. I mean, no one's saying Michael Jordan's washed up when it comes to basketball. I mean,
and I don't think he was washed up. Yeah. It's calling him washed up in the movie.
It's calling him
96. He's in the height of, he's in the height of
basketball. Well, it's before he goes right back to the Bulls and like wins a bunch of championships, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know the exact timeline.
I don't,
he does well.
I'm not a basketball guy. I'm not going to lie. I live in Canada. We had a basketball team here for a couple of years while I was alive.
He went 98 to 95. And then he went 96 to 98. So he was.
This was 85. This was the baseball year.
This was the baseball time. Yes, exactly. And then after this movie, he went right back into basketball.
Yeah, it does have that nostalgia. What's really weird for me? Did you look at the voice cast for the Looney Tunes in this movie?
Are they not the normal Looney Tunes?
It's the cast of Futurama.
That's weird.
It is. Billy West plays Bugs Bunny. What's his face plays Daffy. Why can't I remember his name? John, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Nope.
The guy who plays Bender.
John
DiMaggio, is that correct?
I don't know.
That sounds right. I'm gonna go with that. But like, I was surprised, and because it's taking place in the 90s, and I think a lot of the nostalgia for Looney Tunes, even for me as someone who grew up in the 90s, still comes from original Looney Tunes and like the original voice actors and everything. So everything seemed just a little off in this movie to me as I'm watching it. But Bill Murray.
Brendan the Now says Little Giants all day. Becky the Icebox is a hero. Space Jam isn't fair. It has MJ and Looney Tunes. People are obsessed. I mean, it's great marketing and it's great decision making. This movie was a massive success in 96. Mm-hmm. It made so much money. But to me, if you're doing 90s sports nostalgia, Little Giants hits everything better than Space Jam does.
I think so too. And I think it better embodies the 90s with just like the Cowboys are the bad guys. And that's me as a Cowboys fan having to say that.
And this was when the Cowboys were always really good.
Well, this came out, 94? So it's right before they won back-to-back Super Bowls?
Oh, okay. So it was right before. Yeah.
Or it's like they had just won two and then they won one more.
I don't know.
It's in the middle. It's in the middle of the Cowboys dominating the NFL. You're the Giants, and then, it's the misfit Giants. They kind of get that just demeanor about them. Plus, they're led by Rick Moranis, and Rick Moranis is an absolute gem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Rick Moranis really does hit this pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think Little Giants wins.
I agree. I think it better embodies what we're
looking for. And it's a better movie. Dude, it is just flat out better. Space Jam is like, I get, again, these are nostalgia movies, so this is what works. And this is why we're talking about them. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about this a lot in this. Some of these are really bad. And Space Jam is one of those. Like, I do not like Space Jam. I don't.
Space Jam has a really poorly written script that's kind of riding on cameo appearances to drive it. Yes. Michael Jordan does not seem interested at all in this movie.
He made money, dude.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, it's like, I think, honestly, people probably remember this movie more for Wayne Knight and Bill Murray than they do Michael Jordan.
They honestly remember it more for Lola Bunny than they do Michael Jordan.
Oh, I mean, there's that aspect too. But we're not even going to cross that line.
Yeah, we're not going to. Fine, John. Fine. We won't get into how hot Lola Bunny is. We'll save that for another day. Let's go to the next matchup. Number four, the Mighty Ducks versus number five, Air Bud. When I was looking at these five, like these movies in order, I was a little surprised that Air Bud was on the lower seed line. Mm-hmm. I thought in terms of popularity that Air Bud would be higher. Again, here we go. One with the Stone. What isn't A League of Their Own in the bracket? No, A League of Their Own is another one that's like a legitimate sports movie. Yeah. As a legitimate sports movie, I know One with the Stone is just just joining us, but like Jerry Maguire, Rudy, A League of Their Own, those belong in a different bracket, even though they're 90s sports movies. They're not 90s sports nostalgia movies. They're not those types of movies. They are legitimate 90s sports movies. And if you were doing, like we had said at the beginning of this podcast, if you were doing a sports movie bracket, just in general, if we took 64 sports movies, A League of Their Own would make the baseball part of that bracket 100%. But I don't consider it a nostalgia movie because it's not a movie that, like, nostalgia. I always think of what is nostalgic to most people: their childhood, their teenage years, their youth, their youth, their youth. A League of Their Own is not a movie that you watch in your youth and then don't watch again until you're 40 when you have kids. Mm-hmm. A League of Their Own is a movie that you could turn on again any Sunday and just watch. So that's what it's not doing in here. These are very much more focused on like childish antics, children. A lot of these are Disney movies made by Disney. Obviously Space Jam wasn't, but I think every other movie in this was made by Disney. Maybe with it's the either Disney, of the Sandlot.
Disney or Warner Brothers for the most part. Cause I'm pretty sure Little Giants is also a Warner Brothers movie.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that one I had to rent on Prime.
Yeah.
But all right, we're doing Mighty Ducks versus Air Bud. I was surprised to see Air Bud lower. And then I rewatched Air Bud and I wasn't so surprised anymore, man. The sequels just understood. Just have the dog do silly antics, have it play football, have it play, volleyball, have it play soccer. This movie was too focused on the story. And my God, the first hour of this movie, I was like, when are we going to get to the dog playing basketball? When is it going to happen? How do they make a movie with the poster of a dog dunking a basketball and there isn't a dog dunking a basketball in the movie? And the first hour, we don't see a dog do anything really with a basketball. John, what did I miss here?
I don't know if I'd ever seen Air Bud before this. I remembered a completely different movie. This is not a dog playing basketball movie. This is a kid getting over the death of his father movie.
And his mom's awful. She doesn't even see the dog after she runs over a dog carriage, dog crate at the beginning of the movie. She doesn't even see the dog. What? The dog was sitting right there, lady. You just hit a crate in the middle of the road that is clearly a dog crate. You didn't get out of the car to go and check. There's your cartoonish villain. Mom didn't even go check to see if there was something in the crate that she just crashed into with her car.
When that scene takes place, you're like, oh, this is how they get the dog from the evil clown villain. And then it doesn't happen. You're like, I don't understand where this movie's going.
And then that drags out for another 30 to 40 minutes before they even get the dog. I get it. I get that it's, you know, we're trying to make a real movie here. But at some point, you have to say people came to the theater to see a dog playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And that is not what this movie was. These other movies, Little Giants takes less than 3 seconds to get into what the story of that movie is. And it is just absurd from start to finish. Air Bud is way too serious for so much of the movie. And when I'm doing a nostalgia bracket, like when I remember probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I rewatched The Great Mouse Detective for the first time since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And as I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, this is an out-of-body experience where I am remembering this movie word for word, line for line. But I haven't seen it in so long, and now I'm seeing it as an adult. And I haven't seen this since I was a child, a literal child. Because if you go to Disney World, I go to Disney World all the time. I used to go to Disneyland a bunch. There is nothing for The Great Mouse Detective at any of those places. They don't really market it all that much. It doesn't, you know, it has the Rattigan song, but it's not so much for children, even though it is. But I did not watch this movie for like 20 years. And when I was watching, I was having an out-of-body experience. Yeah. When I was watching Air Bud, I was like, I agree with you. I'm like, what the fuck is this movie? When the fuck did they get to the part where there is a fucking dog playing basketball? What did I miss?
That's the most absurd thing about this movie. This dog plays in one basketball game. I thought we were getting to the point when the kid's removed and they have to, where the, when the kid leaves, the bully kid leaves to play basketball somewhere else because, oh my God, the new coach wants teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Whose name is Bill Cobbs and looks oddly like Bill Cosby. Anyway.
Yeah. When that happens, I'm like, man, this is going to be really embarrassing for these kids when this dog takes their place on a basketball team instead. And that didn't even happen.
I know. Then it's just no rule that says a dog can't play.
Which is the best line in the entire movie.
Of course. Because that's what the movie's supposed to be. It's supposed to be stupid. It's supposed to be over the top. And it really doesn't get there. And that was what was frustrating. And Billy Zane here says Air Bud should have won the Oscar that year. Interesting, Billy Zane, since you were in Titanic that year, I would think that you should have won the Oscar that year for Titanic. Not the other way here with Air Bud stealing your thunder and stealing your shine. So I just, I hated Air Bud. I absolutely hated it. And I thought this was going to be a fun. I mean, my wife loves dogs. I thought she was going to love it. I thought this was going to be so much fun. And it wasn't. Does it have this stuff? It has the overtly 90s movies. A moment. It has children. Yeah. It has a cartoonish villain. It literally has Michael Jeter playing a clown.
Yeah.
Is it feel good? Sure. Rival becomes a friend. Yeah. Struggling parent. I already said she's awful. Yeah. Washed up athlete. Yes. That's the coach. Ragtag group of misfits. Of course. Athlete playing themselves. I don't think that's actually.
I don't think it has that one.
But either way, it has all the criteria. It just doesn't disperse it over an hour and 45 minutes. It uses it all. You have to wait an hour to get there. And you're like, come on, I'm waiting. Whereas the Mighty Ducks, not to already give away what I want to win here, the Mighty Ducks literally opens with super overly dramatic music. An announcer who's announcing like a 7-year-old's hockey game, which never happens. I don't know what anybody's talking about.
Well, clearly, and you haven't spent enough time in Canada.
I guess, but man, like, I mean, this stuff can happen, but the way that this was being like broadcast nationally, they make it seem, and this kid missing the game winning shot and letting down everybody in his life. That is what I'm looking for from my 90s sports nostalgia movie, who then turns around and is a lawyer who never loses and doesn't count the one loss he has and had, what's his license plate? Always win or win something.
Yeah.
Something, whatever.
Yeah. Always
win. Something with like win. It's so ridiculous. That's what I'm talking about with the 90s nostalgia movie. Ragtag group of misfits. Yes. Cartoonish villain. That coach is such a prick. Feel good. Absolutely. Rival who becomes friend. Yes. Struggling parent. Yes. They're all struggling parents.
There's the woman,
his love interest.
There is a divorced parent. There's definitely a struggling parent in this movie.
Athlete playing themselves. John probably cried when he saw Mike Madonna.
Mike Madonna's there. Oh
yeah. This has everything you could want from one of these movies. I don't really think this one's close. I thought when I saw that this was going to be the matchup, I was like, man, that's a doozy. This is like Happy Gilmore versus Billy Madison. And then I watched Air Bud last night and I was like, in my head, fuck you, Air Bud. I hate you. Wow. I hate you. Get out of here. Now, Buddy the Dog is a very good actor, but that movie did not do what it was supposed to. We're over here talking 90s sports nostalgia. We're going to have like a mom who's like, oh my God, look, kid, they're doing a bracket. And fuck you, Air Bud. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm cursing a lot on this one, but I really hated Air Bud. Anyway, Mighty Ducks is going to advance. Do you know who directed Air Bud?
No. Wait.
Don't look it up.
Well, I don't know though.
Okay, then don't look it up, bro. You gotta wait. So it's Charles Martin Smith. Do you know who Charles Martin Smith is?
Not off the top of my head.
He is an actor. He is in American Graffiti. And he is in The Untouchables.
Okay. Those are good movies.
Yes. And so it's very funny that he was an actor. He was kind of, you know, he was wore the big glasses and he was known as the nerdy kind of guy. And then he goes and directs Air Bud. So I just thought that was a funny little twist of fate there that he was in that. Billy Zane says, oh, no, I'm sorry. Wait, that's the wrong one. Real Nicolas Cage says, imagine not having an Oscar, Billy Zane. And then Billy Zane says, imagine not being a Best Picture winner, Nicolas Cage. I love this. This is the heat. Yeah. I really hope that this is the real Billy Zane and the real Nicolas Cage, and this is what they're doing in their spare time. If this is you guys, please tweet out the link to this video. That would be very useful for us. So anyway, yes. John, what do you got?
I think one of the biggest things with the Mighty Ducks that really puts it over the top of Air, but other than like it has everything, when we're talking about a washed up athlete, our protagonist of this movie is a washed up peewee hockey star.
I don't think anything. He never played again after he hit the pipe, bro.
My God. It's so excessive. And I think this movie also just has these moments that I think people remember. I'm not ashamed as I've quacked at people before.
Oh my God, dude.
I have quacked.
You should be ashamed. You said you're not. I don't know why.
I'm not ashamed. It's sometimes you just got to get a good quack chant going on. Sometimes, you know, you got to perform the flying V. There are moments in the Mighty Ducks that just like, have cemented themselves in my brain. Again, yes, I'm Canadian. So, of course, the hockey movie is the one that cemented itself in my brain. But also, this movie takes itself so seriously and it works so well.
So seriously, man. I could not believe how seriously this movie took itself. So seriously. I was like, damn, do they know that they're making like a family jokey movie? I don't think they did.
Oh, no, because one of the greatest insults in movie history is in this movie. And it is when this little kid calls the rich kid a cake eater. Mm-hmm. This little inner city kid calls the rich kid a cake eater, like Marie Antoinette. And I'm just like, holy cow, this is so incredible. What fantastic writing this children's Disney movie has that was just to promote the fact that they started a hockey team.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, the Mighty Ducks moves on, and we'll talk about Little Giants versus Mighty Ducks in a little bit here. On the other side, this Sandlot versus Rookie of the Year. We were talking about baseball versus baseball. Now, John was going to make the argument here that the Sandlot didn't take place in the 90s, so it can't be 90s sports nostalgia, but I feel like I already shot that down, right?
I wasn't going to make that argument.
John, you were ready to.
I was ready to have the conversation about it, but we came to the same conclusion that the way this movie shot is so 90s. It's a bit late 80s, I would say. It's a bit Rob Reiner, in all honesty.
It is. It has it was very much like, we're going to make Stand By Me with baseball and really bad narration, like really, really, really bad narration. Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't seen the Sandlot in, like I said, probably at least 2 decades.
You didn't just watch it?
Well, prior to watching it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, John. I wanted to make sure you're ready.
But this movie is nostalgic. This movie captures the essence of those summer days as a kid, not caring about anything, having your imagination run wild, and just spending time with your friends.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
It's also probably the best made movie in this list, in this bracket.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I mean, I feel like The Sandlot is I do agree with you that The Sandlot's the best movie in this bracket. The narration almost does it in. It makes it too melodramatic, and some of it is just flat out horrible. I also think the guy who is doing the narration isn't very good. The little like snickers and laughs and whatever, you're like, oh, is that what it says to do in the script? It is, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Snicker here. Like, do that. Yeah. That being said, some of the moments in this, the pool scene in this movie is one of my favorite moments. Oh my God, dude. Such a great scene. This magic moment, man, when that starts playing, it's just so amazing. And now he's married to Wendy Peppercorn and they have 9 children. And it really, it really does hit on a lot of the 50s tropes along with the 90s stuff, which I think also helps it, because people in the 90s were nostalgic for the 50s. And now people in the 2020s are still nostalgic for the 50s, but they're also nostalgic for the 90s. And I know everybody's just here be like, yeah, but what about the political environment and this, that? I'm not talking about that. I don't care. These movies, the one thing that none of them mention is the politics of the time. Yeah. Like, they don't harp on that. They don't dive into that. And I think that, you know, that levity is nice in these movies. And so I think that with a movie like The Sandlot, you're getting double the nostalgia, which really helps it. It has the overtly 90s moments for sure. The dog chase scene is so 90s. Must Have Children, obviously. Cartoonish villain. Just that one baseball game is so over the top that they play against those kids. Feel Good for sure. Rival Becomes a Friend. We can talk about that a little bit. I mean, I feel like the whole gang is rivals with our main character early on. So that's probably true. Washed Up Athlete. We do get that at the very end of the movie with James Earl Jones. So that definitely sneaks its way in.
I also think James Earl Jones being in a second 90s baseball movie helps this movie a lot.
It does. And then, I mean, they're also leaning into that, right? Because Field of Dreams came out before this. I think Field of Dreams was actually
89, maybe, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 89. So it was an 80s movie. But Struggling Parent, yes. And Athlete Playing Themselves. We don't have that, actually.
No, we don't.
In this one. Rookie of the Year, we have a little bit of everything. So let's jump over to Rookie of the Year now. Mm-hmm. Adrian Brody, Matthew McConaughey, Gary Busey,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's Angels in the Outfield.
Rookie of the Year has the kid playing for the Cubs.
Yes, with Gary Busey.
Man, I totally butchered that. Oh, yeah.
Gary Busey's in this
just
one.
Just Gary Busey.
Yes. This also has John Candy.
This is the one with John Candy. Dude, those two movies, I watched them back to back, and they just melded.
Yeah, that's fair. This one might have the most ridiculous plot out of any of these movies. And one of these movies has a NBA star going to play basketball with cartoon characters.
Dude, the fact that the plot of this movie is like kid falls on baseball, wakes up in hospital, arm humerus and whatever has stitched together, and now he can throw really hard. What I really love about this, if you made this movie now, people would be like, oh my God, it's so stupid. It's unrealistic, blah, blah. Yeah, it's supposed to be. This is a children's family sports movie. It's supposed to be nonsense. You're not supposed to overthink the science behind this kind of stuff. And I think a lot of these movies stopped getting made because we, as audiences, we did become too serious in the 2000s. Yes, Rookie of the Year does not need to be Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It doesn't have to be. That's not the point of the movie. But as a child watching this as a kid, there's no way you didn't find this to be entertaining and interesting and funny. It's so stupid. It's so over the top. They take the Cubs, who are the worst baseball franchise ever. And they just do like a stupid, silly movie. And then what's the climax of the movie? Oh, he slips on the ball again. And now he doesn't have the power anymore. So now he has to throw, like, his mom and him are talking across the stadium, where you wouldn't even be able to see the face of the person in the front row, let alone wherever his mom was sitting. Unbelievable, man. That's your 90s moment. But it's just so over the top. Has children. Has cartoonish villain. I mean, the guy who's coming up to plate every time is so funny.
Well, he also has the stepdad, who's also cartoonish.
Oh, God. The manager selling him to the Yankees.
The nephew of the owner who's going to take over the team, also cartoon. Like, this has more cartoonish villains than the rest of the bracket combined.
Yes, it does. It does. It does. It does. It has kids. It has the cartoonish villain, like we said. It is Feel Good. It has a rival who becomes a friend. That's Chet Stedman, of course.
He's also the mentor character.
Yes, he's the struggling parent, the washed up athlete, Chet Stedman. Ragtag group of misfits. Not really, although him and his two friends are a group of misfits, but there's only three of them. Mm. Athlete Playing Themselves, that is in there. This is a hard matchup.
It is. This is actually probably the hardest matchup of the first round.
I totally agree. Where do you lean on this?
It's really tough. It's really tough because it depends what emphasis we're putting on the 90s sports nostalgia of this bracket. If we are talking nostalgia movies, it's The Sandlot.
Mm-hmm.
if we're talking like more overtly 90s movies, it's Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah, Rookie of the Year is more 90s, but then at the same time, I feel like The Sandlot is very 90s.
It is.
Even though it takes place in the 50s, it's very 90s. The type of voiceover narration and all that stuff is very 90s.
It's also dealing with a stepdad in the 60s, and like, let's be real. 60s media wasn't dealing with that.
But it was also saying his father had died.
Sure. Okay. But
it wasn't like
it, right? Before. Like, we still weren't really talking about it in the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, it has an overtly 90s moment when Babe Ruth appears in a character's dream.
To tell him how to go jump over. The PF Flyers are so iconic. The contraptions that they make to try to pick up the ball with the dog and the fear of that. I think the thing with Rookie of the Year is even though the child is the main star of the movie, I do feel like Rookie of the Year focuses so much on the Cubs as a baseball team and as an organization. And The Sandlot really does just focus on the kids.
And I think that's where the nostalgia for The Sandlot comes. I think when you're a kid, you watch this movie and you enjoy this movie because it's the kids getting up to fun antics. When you're an adult, you go back to this movie to remember what it's like to be a kid.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what puts it over the top of the Rookie of the Year. Also, I'm docking Rookie of the Year for saying the Cubs could win a World Series in the 90s.
No, they just said pennant. I mean, he does show the ring.
They did until there's a World Series ring. And then I'm like, you ruined it. If you didn't show this ring, I was going to commend you for only saying they could win the pennant.
But I do think it's funny that Rookie of the Year and Angels in the Outfield only go for the pennant. They don't show them going for the World Series through the playoffs. They only show the pennant, which is really funny. I don't know why they're doing that. Maybe they didn't have the rights to say World Series. Like, I have no idea. It's so weird.
I don't know. But it was funny. I definitely took note of it. The one thing with The Sandlot is there's no organized sports. There's one time where they're playing baseball, not just with themselves in the entire movie.
That's true. That is true. So is it actually a sports nostalgia movie? But it's all so much. I also feel like even though they're not playing organized sports, all they talk about is baseball.
Yes. And I think that it's really important. Baseball is the thing that brings them together in the first place. Baseball literally is the, how does he phrase it? The biggest pickle they ever got into.
Yeah.
Right? Like, baseball is what pushes this movie forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. So, yeah, I think we got to give it to The Sandlot. Even if The Sandlot's not going to win this, I think it has to beat Rookie of the Year because I think it just hits what we're looking for more. So, The Sandlot, congrats. You made it. Last one here in the first round. 3C Cool Runnings taking out 6C Angels in the Outfield. Did you know that these guys are Jamaican?
I did.
You did know that. Okay. Yeah. That wasn't lost on you as you were watching the movie? They didn't say it too few times for you to know?
They mentioned Jamaica a lot. And I get it. Like, that's the entire point of this movie. Is that it's the absurdity of it. But I feel like Disney didn't lead into the absurdity of the situation enough to really make it terribly comedic.
I feel like it is terribly comedic. Like, terribly. It's comedic, terribly. It's not funny. Willie D here says, I see pride, I see power, I see the badass mother who don't take no crap off of nobody. He wants Cool Runnings. I mean, that's where I feel like he's been sitting here waiting for us to talk about Cool Runnings. Man, I'm going to be honest. Angels in the Outfield is going to win this.
Is it?
Is it not for you?
Oh, I think this matchup's closer than you might think.
Okay, you might be able to convince me. I mean, I feel like then we're going to be moving The Sandlot onto the final. I feel like Cool Runnings versus Angels in the Outfield, we might as well talk about both these movies now because whoever wins, The Sandlot's going to advance to the final probably.
Yeah, I think anyone who looked at this bracket knew that The Sandlot was advancing to the final on this side.
Yeah, it's an easier side for sure. The other side was loaded. Yeah. Overtly 90s moment, yes, must have children. Cool Runnings doesn't really have them. Cartoonish villain. Yes. Feel good. Yes. Rival becomes a friend. Yes. Struggling parent. No. Washed up athlete. Yes. Ragtag group of misfits. Yes. Athlete playing themselves. I don't know. Are there bobsledders in this? I have no idea.
Maybe. I don't know.
My biggest problem with Cool Runnings is, so when people have been mentioning other movies in here, they've talked about Rudy, Jerry Maguire, A League of Their Own. The thing is, people talk about Cool Runnings as if it belongs in that class, and it just doesn't. This movie is so over the top with its depiction of this Jamaican bobsled team. Mm-hmm. The jokes are so 90s and so ridiculous, down to like what they're wearing, what they say, what they do. Like, it just feels so, to me, it felt like too much the entire time. And I'm always a big John Candy fan, but like, it just felt like too much the entire time. Willie D says it belongs in a class above all those movies, if anything. So I don't know, man. Well, I don't know. It's just weird for me.
It's, well, I mean, I'm going to point it out. This movie doesn't take place in the 90s. It takes place in the 80s. I'll just put it out there since we talked about it with The Sandlot. This movie takes place in 88 because that's when the Calgary Olympics happened. This movie, I hadn't seen this movie before. And I know a lot of people who talk really highly about this movie. This movie did absolutely nothing for me.
Yeah, it's not funny. And it's like very 90s humor. And I think that's the thing. Like, if you're a 90s adult, I feel like you like Cool Runnings more than you like it if you're a 90s kid.
Yeah, maybe.
And I'm not saying, like, and look, we got Willie D over here who is all over Cool Runnings. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I think it has a lot of that essence of 90s sports movies. It has a lot of, I think the big thing is this ragtag group, right? It has these people who like don't even get along with each other, who are as ragtag as possible because they're competing in the Winter Olympics from a country that doesn't have snow. So I get it. It's a big underdog story. It's the old, double checking I'm right here. I am. It's the only movie in this bracket where the protagonist team that we're focusing on doesn't win.
Yeah. And what's funny is in real life, not only do they not win, they don't even finish in real life. And I know in this, they like, they talk about that, but like they literally get a DNF at the Olympics in 1988. They don't even get a time. They're just the DNF.
It's tough because like, I don't even feel like John Candy's all that great in this movie, though, to be honest. I don't feel like he's really bringing a big comedic role like you're used to with John Candy. I feel like we got more of John Candy as John Candy and Rookie of the Year as he's announcing a baseball game.
Yeah, than we do as I agree with that.
Movie that he is in the entire runtime of.
Yeah, I can get behind that for sure. Cool Runnings, I just it felt long. It was just cringy the entire time. But it is very 90s. And it is a sports movie, and people are nostalgic for it. Let's talk about Angels in the Outfield. Now, this is the one with Adrian Brody, Christopher Lloyd, Matthew McConaughey, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Loaded cast. Absolutely loaded. So weird. Tony Danza. Glover.
Yeah.
Danny Glover. This is one that I remember being a lot better, John.
It was not a very good movie.
I remember this being so good when I was a kid. I loved Angels in the Outfield. And this one, it was like they tried to go for the It's a Wonderful Life kind of thing. And then they just forgot that It's a Wonderful Life had rules, and this one really doesn't have rules, and Christopher Lloyd just appears to kind of over-explain the rules, and I'm like, what's going on with Christopher Lloyd and these rules? I'm not sure how I felt about this, even from a 90s nostalgia, so maybe you're right. Maybe Cool Runnings is going to advance. Angels in the Outfield has those 90 moments, has children, has a cartoonish villain, has a feel-good. Rival becomes a friend, struggling parent, washed up athlete, ragtag group of misfits. That's the whole Angels roster. Athlete playing themselves. We get a little bit of that. It has everything for a 90s sports nostalgia movie. But after rewatching this, I'm almost kind of like, okay, this movie's fun. It's good. It's decent. You know, it is what it is. I remember it being better, but like it's a funny enough kind of story. But it really doesn't tell. I don't know. Like the kid doesn't play baseball, which I think is what bothers me.
That's the most condemning thing for this entire movie, in my opinion, because I remembered Angels in the Outfield as this kid's playing baseball. I forgot it was about the Angels. I thought this kid was playing baseball and then Angels helped him be good at baseball. That is not this.
That's what I remember too. I almost remembered this like Rookie of the Year, but instead it's he can see the Angels, so he's telling the coach who to put into the game. And now the coach gets the accolades and the kid is just gets to go and like do this stuff, which is nice.
It is.
This was a remake of a 50s or 60s movie, so you could see where they were trying to be a little bit more grounded in this.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't a movie really about religion, and it's not really a movie about a kid playing baseball. So part of me was like, okay, it's about the Anaheim Angels,
yeah,
getting benefits from having angels on their side. But like, we know this isn't real. So like, what's the point? It doesn't have the same effect as like a Miracle on 34th Street with Santa Claus is real and all that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, for me, I didn't hate this movie. I thought Rookie of the Year was better.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I just like, I don't know, man. I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and I thought to myself, this could have had a lot more fun with it than it did.
I think the big thing with this movie, we talked about it and we didn't put it in our criteria because we're like, it's a given with these movies. What's the lesson and moral in this movie?
Yeah, I was kind of getting that too. Like, cheat your way to a victory.
Because that's, let's be real, that's what they're doing. They are cheating here. And sure, okay, the Angels can't help in a championship game. They still got them to the championship
game. Yeah, if it wasn't for the Angels, I did like that line of like, you have to win a championship on your own. Just don't worry about the 75 games that made it so that you would be in a championship position. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, it's, it, like you said, it doesn't follow its own rules and it kind of just makes things up. Christopher Lloyd's barely in this movie.
He needed to be in more, man. That was the thing, too. Like, the Angels aren't established at all as to why they're helping with this baseball team. Like, oh, you wished on it. Okay, but, like, who are these? You think about a movie like Field of Dreams. It gets into, like, who all these people are, why they're important to the main character. This movie doesn't do that, and I feel like it could have. It could have had so much fun with that. And especially since, like, here's a kid who's, you know, in a foster care system and like has nothing else. So it's just kind of crazy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And even then, like, so I suppose like the whole, like wishing that the Angels are good so that his dad comes and gets him, he gets a new family instead. Sure. The weird thing is like his dad's never made out to be a bad guy in this movie.
He's just a bum. He's just, he's like, he actually is like, I'm ashamed of what I'm doing, but it's best for the kid. I can't have this kid. Like, he's just a bum, which we do see in the 90s.
Uh-huh. 100%. Right. Like, it fits that like wash up or that struggling parent aspect of this movie. But I almost feel like we don't get character development in this movie either.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that there's all this like personal stuff happening in the movie. That's really the focus of the movie. The baseball is secondary in this movie, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like this one is so all over the place. Like, again, it's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. It's not a good, it's just a movie. And it has some really good ideas that it's very similar to Air Bud, where it's like, it has good ideas. It just doesn't know how to portray those ideas enough.
Yeah, I just don't understand why we don't have Christopher Lloyd doing physical comedy in this movie.
Yeah, which is what he's good at. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's like there's just some weird choices with the script in this movie that makes it come off as a commercial for the Angels of Anaheim.
Yeah, the California Angels at the time. Yep. So what do you want to move on?
I think we have to move on Cool Runnings here because I think it kind of... Angels in Outfield is just kind of too much of a mess to move on here.
Wow, I can't believe I'm doing it. I said it's never moving on, but I'm just going to not waste my jaw hurt. So I'm just going to say the Sandlot beats Cool Runnings.
It does.
There's no way. There's no way.
Yeah. The Cool Runnings in the end doesn't hit nostalgia the way the Sandlot does.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I don't think Cool Runnings really hits nostalgia much at all.
And
One with the Stone says Cool Runnings was cringe before cringe was in the common vernacular.
Yeah.
Sorry, Willie D.
I think the other thing with Cool Runnings is it's really hurt by the fact it's about bobsled.
Yes, I agree with that.
Like, I agree. Sports were big in the 90s, right? We had the sports card craze where sports cards were literally printed so much they're not worth anything anymore.
Yeah.
You weren't getting bobsled cards. You were getting baseball cards.
Yeah. It is funny how, like, baseball cards are worth nothing now. I was thinking about that in Air Bud when he pulls out the basketball player's card, and I'm just like, man.
No, that card was probably worth quite a lot, actually.
People back in the day, though, would tell me, like, hey, like, save your baseball cards. They'll be worth something. It's like, no, they're not. Just, like, signatures are really worth nothing now.
Well, you need the COEs and stuff for signature. I used to work in the sports card industry. I don't know if you know that, but...
I didn't.
So I know a lot.
The booming sports card industry in Bella Coola.
No, it was in Victoria. Like, don't worry, it was in civilization. It
funny if it was in Bella Coola. But, all right, well, let's do. Sorry, I'm stretching. Sorry, I'm tired. All right. Little Giants versus the Mighty Ducks. Football versus hockey. Team sports. Ragtag group of misfits. I don't think it could be any better defined. Rick Moranis, Emilio Estevez, I think, trying to act and thinking he's like giving an Oscar-worthy performance. Rick Moranis hamming it up as the dad of Icebox. I literally could go either way with these.
Yeah, that's fair.
I enjoyed both of them. I feel like they both hold up. Mighty Ducks does take itself more seriously than the Little Giants. I guess maybe that's a good thing. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. They also don't call themselves the Mighty Ducks in this movie. They're just the Ducks.
They're just the Ducks. Funny, and they're not named after the animal.
I know. I thought that was really funny.
But I think, okay, I think Little Giants has like, it really does capture that ragtag group, and it really works on that young female character, which none of these other movies has.
Yeah, like, it's the only one. I mean, you have, what's her name? The girl from Mudhot American Summer. You ended up sending me her name because I was like, who the hell is this?
Marguerite something?
Yeah, like she is in the Mighty Ducks and she definitely plays a role in the Mighty Ducks. She's in like every background shot, smiling and clapping. Mm-hmm. But Icebox is the main child character of Little Giants.
I don't want to sound... Oh, well, be careful with my words here. Here
comes sexist John.
No. I actually think had they focused more on Icebox as a character, Little Giants would win this hands down. But they don't.
Yeah, well, when they start playing the game, she's over there cheerleading and she feels background and it's now Rick Moranis' movie.
And that's kind of what that's the interesting thing about both these movies. Arguably the adults are the main protagonists of these movies.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Emilio Estevez is definitely the protagonist of the Mighty Ducks. I don't even think that's 100%. A question. 100%. It's his story, and yes, he befriends Charlie, and yes, he gets the kids together. Rick Moranis is the protagonist, but he's being the protagonist for the benefit of his daughter. That's the difference in this one. So you are getting that, and I feel like you get to know the characters maybe a little bit better in Little Giants in terms of more of them. You get to know more of them. You know, you get the nerdy kid with the annexation of Puerto Rico. You have, you know, the kid who keeps farting all the time and just smells terrible. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I could go either way with this. I feel like both of these, though, are classic 90s sports nostalgia. They are classic 90s sports nostalgia.
We have this criteria. They hit every single criteria. Both of them, I think even if we look at, like, the ragtag group of misfits aspect of it, Little Giants starts with three people who were cut from the football team. Uh-huh. And then they literally, there's a montage of them just asking people to join their football team.
Yep. Now, I think what this comes down to is, do you want darker or do you want your 90s sports nostalgia movies to be so unbelievably light?
Yeah, I think it's a really good way of putting it. And what I was trying to get to with Icebox's character and Becky's character in Little Giants, the fact that she's just on the sideline as a cheerleader for the game, which is the last third of that
movie. But then she comes in and saves the day.
Does. But we don't get any moments throughout it of, oh, she's struggling with this. She's like regretting her decision to do this. And she doesn't come back until her, like, you know, the dude she's crushing on gets hurt.
Yeah. No, I know. I feel like they should have shown her being like more miserable cheerleading. They show that very much little at the end. The one thing I will say is I love the creativity of the villain in Little Giants. Ed O'Neill is perfect as O'Shea. He is absolutely perfect. He's playing Joe Pa. Anybody who isn't familiar with Joe Paterno as the head coach of Penn State, because I know like Joe Pa's been dead now for a while, but like he is playing that and he plays it to a T. He is so good in this movie. Whereas your villain in the Mighty Ducks is very much just a stereotypical head coach. He's just a dick head coach. That's really is. And I appreciate the Little Giants went a little bit more, lean in a little bit more to that of like, let's make this reminiscent of something else. The Mighty Ducks villain, he's a dick the entire time. But during the game and stuff, he's just smiling, acting normal. Little Giants guy is doing a lot of the very basic whatever. But I also like that in Little Giants, they keep it friendlier, where it is like, I want to win this game, I'm going to take your business. But also, like, we're not going to go out and try to hurt somebody. We're not going to do those kinds of things. You know, it is, there's a message in Little Giants beyond just the underdogs can win. It's like, you don't have to win by cheating. You can overcome the obstacles, those kinds of things. So I don't know, man. I'm letting you make the pick. You're choosing.
But I'll say, like, the Mighty Ducks, I think has an almost more important message than Little Giants, in winning isn't everything.
But that's stupid. It is everything.
Winning it's not is everything. Everything. It's not. And actually,
but in the Mighty Ducks, they do win.
They do because of their love for the game.
They win because they have the best player taking the penalty shot in the end.
No, they don't. They have, like, their player. Charlie is not the best player on the Mighty Ducks by a lot.
He is now.
But I think, like, one of the big things with the Mighty Ducks is it has the ragtag group. Both of these movies have that moment where the team kind of disbands, right?
Yeah.
Little Giants has it when Becky decides, I'm going to be a cheerleader. Right before the last minute of the game, before the end of the game. The Mighty Ducks have it when the kids overhear the coach saying a sarcastic comment that they should all die.
Losers should die. See, winning is everything, John.
That was sarcasm, though. And I think the moment of them it feels like in the Little Giants, when the team gets back together at the game, it's because they don't realize that Becky's not going to be there. And B, it's a lot driven by Rick Moranis. Whereas in the Mighty Ducks, the kids really drive this team still. And the kids, again, quacking at the principal.
Mm-hmm.
That is a moment where you're like, I'm not going to lie, kind of brought a tear to my eye because I was like, man, these kids are understanding what it means to actually be a team.
John
and they're evolving from the ragtag group of misfits to being more than that.
I just realized, though, like, I'm going to let you pick this, but of course you're going to pick the Mighty Ducks. It's hockey.
That is not what's putting it over the top here for
me. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is, John. Winning is everything, and the Mighty Ducks is only winning because you believe in hockey.
It's not. I actually think this is a really tough matchup.
You just hate American football.
Don't say that. I'm actually picking it because the Cowboys are the bad guys in the Little Giants. Can't have that.
So you're picking Mighty Ducks?
I was going to pick the Mighty Ducks anyways. You're right. It wasn't because of the hockey. I actually do think it kind of just embodies the 90s a lot more. And it has those moments where it just kind of pushes it over the edge with the Little Giants. Oh. Because, yes, it's a little more serious. But I think that makes it better for kids as a whole, like people as a whole, rather than just kids, because I think it says the Mighty Ducks, I think, just has, like, both of these movies have a lot of rewatch value. I think the Mighty Ducks has just a little bit more.
Yeah, you can say that. It doesn't make it true. It's okay. I'm fine with it. I was good with either one. So Mighty Ducks versus the Sandlot in the final. Not surprising. One with the Stone says the Ducks is a very upper class rich kids movie. The Sandlot was for every neighborhood kid in America. John, you are the snob of the podcast. How does that feel?
Well, first off, it's comparing it to the Sandlot. And I can't deny that. Hockey is not an accessible sport by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is literally the second most popular sport in the world.
Yeah, unfortunately, and it's getting less popular every day. The Sandlot, so now here we go. We have the American pastime versus the sport Canadians stole from Russia. So here we go. America's pastime is boring as shit. The sport that you guys stole from Russia is a lot more entertaining. What do you think actually should win this based on the fact that we're calling this a 90s sports nostalgia bracket? Not surprised these are the two we landed on. I feel like the Mighty Ducks is more popular than Little Giants, so that is what was going to put Mighty Ducks over the top. Mm-hmm. Sandlot gets to chill on the other side. The Sandlot had a pretty easy run.
Man.
It's like the kids are very prevalent in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
would we rather pick a movie to win this where the protagonist, and maybe this isn't the only criteria, but I'm just thinking of this, where the protagonist is an adult alcoholic lawyer or an adult lawyer who gets a DUI? Or would we rather have this won by a narrator who's an adult reminiscing on his childhood that doesn't take place in the 90s? I mean, that's not the only criteria, but that's just...
No, but I mean, that's the big differences between these movies, right? Is The Mighty Ducks doesn't have a child protagonist. The Sandlot has a child protagonist who doesn't know who Babe Ruth is.
So funny.
I don't even know how that's possible. How is that even possible?
There was no TV, man. He didn't watch TV. His dad, his stepdad wouldn't even play catch with him.
His stepdad literally has a signed Babe Ruth baseball. There is
clearly
no
we didn't talk about it. Dennis Leary is a total asshole.
Yeah, of course. This is really tough because I think, again, The Sandlot hits nostalgia better than The Mighty Ducks does.
Because one with the stone, it asked earlier, so what's the all-time nostalgia movie? Is it Bad News Bears? I actually think it might be The Sandlot, but I don't know if The Sandlot should win this.
That's what, because like I think if we're looking at nostalgia, it's The Sandlot. If we're looking at 90s sports, I think it leans more towards The Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. I agree. Also, the fact that they call them the Dallas North Stars really cracked me up.
No, it's the Minnesota North Stars. It's before they moved to Dallas.
Oh, it was before they moved to Dallas. That's right, because they call them the North Stars, and I was like, oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, it's because it's the before the team moved. Also, this movie takes place in Minnesota, and no one has a Minnesota accent.
That is true. It's Emilio Estevez. Leave him alone. This is hard because for me, it's like The Sandlot is children. The Sandlot focuses on baseball, camaraderie, friendship, all of that. The Mighty Ducks does that too. But the through line of the movie is an adult who is overcoming like his childhood loss, his childhood biggest obstacle that he's
kind
ever had to overcome.
Kind of reclaiming his love for the sport, right?
Yeah.
It's tough.
What do you think?
Ooh, I'm at a toss up. I think I know what our listeners want us to say.
They want us to say The Sandlot.
They do. I just don't know if it's the right answer.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it to Mighty Ducks.
I think I want to, too, because I think it...
I think the Flying V is also more iconic.
I agree.
Than any... Like, there's a lot of iconic stuff that happens in The Sandlot. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Flying V is more... Like, that is something that, like, worked its way in, and you don't have to have... Yeah, everybody's going to know that that's from The Mighty Ducks. I don't know. And The Mighty Ducks spun off so many sequels and everything.
It had what? It has... I mean, so does The Sandlot. The Sandlot has, I think, two sequels. The Mighty Ducks has two... It has at least one sequel. The Mighty Ducks has two sequels, an animated television series about superhero ducks from a different planet, and...
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. The Sandlot 2 came out in 2005. That's not an authentic sequel. Mighty Ducks 2 was 2 years later.
Yes. And the Mighty Ducks also has a new series that's currently running on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, they went for the nostalgia.
I feel like The Sandlot is a great nostalgia movie, but I also feel like The Sandlot almost gets too into the realm of, like, it's too much of a legitimate movie. Like, the Mighty Ducks is pure nostalgia. That is why you're watching the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, I will say both of these movies, these are the two movies I rated the highest out of these movies.
What's so funny is on Rotten Tomatoes, the Mighty Ducks has a 23%. Like, get over yourselves.
What are you doing, Rotten Tomatoes?
Over yourselves. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. It's crazy. It takes itself so seriously. It's so over the top. It's so cheesy and corny. I love it. One with the Stone says, boo, let the whole six of us vote. Hell no, man. There's going to be 300 views on this one at least, I'm telling you. And we've been doing well over on Audio Boom with these. So if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, any of that stuff, thank you. Keep listening. Keep on making sure you're tuning into all of these podcasts. We do appreciate that. If you ever come over to the YouTube channel, you'll see everything else here too. John.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about this now that we just picked the Mighty Ducks as the winner?
I'm probably going to watch D2 this week because I think it embodies the 90s a little bit more than the original Mighty Ducks does. And of course, we stay away from sequels and stuff. The D2 has Russia as the bad guy.
Wow. And you Eastern stole European your sport team. From them. So
yeah. So I don't know. I'm going to go watch D2. I'm going to watch Brink this week because Phil can't stop talking about that movie.
Brink is a masterpiece.
Then I'm going to watch some not 90s movies for a little while.
There you go. Yeah, we got. So remember, everybody, Godzilla and from 1954 and Godzilla from 1998. Those are our two movies next week. Make sure you tune in for that. If you want to become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're talking North by Northwest tomorrow. And then we're jumping into Life of Brian the 2 days after Easter. So that'll be fun. For anybody who doesn't know what Life of Brian's about, look it up and you'll understand why that's really good that we're doing that right after Easter. Shaun of the Dead, Shrek 2, Some Like It Hot. Those are our next four throughout the month of April. So North by Northwest is tomorrow, though. So make sure you tune in for that. Think about becoming a patron. Patreon.com/specialist, $5 tier. It's $5 for the month, and then you get all that stuff plus Q&As and some other Survivor content, and then also our Discord. So consider being a patron. And that's it. That's what I got. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed March Movie Madness. Our three brackets. I had a fun time doing them, even if my jaw is never going to heal. Just from talking for so much longer than we normally do about these movies. So anyway, thank you all. Let us know if we made the right decision. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Tell us what your favorite 90s sports nostalgia movie is. And we'll see you next Monday.